You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you and good afternoon. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum, the most talked to, talked about, and most listened to political talk show weekends in all of Arizona. Thank you for making that possible. Today's show includes an interview with Scott Stewart, treasurer of the Libertarian Party in Pima County, Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County, Larry Poteen is the president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. It's going to be a great show. I'm glad you decided to join us. Here's Scott Stewart, treasurer of the Libertarian Party. Let's talk the Libertarian Party. It's emerging as candidates are being seen on the ballot and will be in 2022.
Well, we hope so. We have two candidates who did qualify, Mark Victor for U.S. Senate and Doug Harding for state legislature in District 20. So we're excited about that. Unfortunately, Drew did not get enough signatures to appear on the primary ballot. However, she is still continuing her campaign. She withdrew as a primary candidate, a regular primary candidate, and refiled as a write-in, which gives her more time to do the kind of messaging that she wants to do, as well as building up the infrastructure to maybe get on the ballot for the general election if she gets enough.
So there is another
enough
path
write-in votes. There is another path. It's also a hard path, but it actually has better chance of success than the path she was on, just because there's more time.
Well, we only
to
had
execute.
A couple of weeks to do thousands of signatures. Very little time, about a narrow window.
Yes.
Altogether, it was almost impossible.
That's why I always preach: start more than a year away.
Exactly.
even in an election that libertarians are famous for, which is the sort of 5% election,
sure.
You still got to plan a year out.
Let's talk about the growth of the Libertarian Party in Pima County, and you are growing.
Yes. I actually don't have the registration numbers up, but we have grown in the past year from having roughly 12 precinct committeemen to 40. We're on track for having 40 to 50 elected this coming August, and we will continue appointing precinct committeemen after that, so that we have a shot at 70 to 100 maybe by the end of the year. And with more precinct committeemen comes more people who can interact with the libertarians in their precinct, which is one of the things that we just have to get good at. Libertarians like being left alone, and a lot of libertarians are introverts, but if you don't get to know the libertarians in your precinct, you can't just walk up to them and ask them for, ask the 10 to 15 to 20 libertarians in your precinct to sign a petition. You got to get to know them a little bit first. But ironically, one of the best ways to get to know them is asking them to sign a petition.
Sure.
So you kind of have to do it all at once. And that's kind of been Drew's approach to doing everything. Just do everything at once and get done as much as you can. And in every step of the way, we're building our infrastructure and contacts and volunteers.
Speaking of a libertarian growth, excuse me, your meeting place and your ability to get people together, if you will.
Yeah. So we have a headquarters that we hold a monthly public outreach meeting at, and that is roughly located at Craycroft and 5th Street. Strictly speaking, let me just give you the address here for anybody who's interested. It's 5546 East 4th Street. It's a block north of 5th and a block east of Craycroft. And we have a great outreach meeting coming up on Tuesday, April 19th at 6:30 p.m., and we're going to have two guest speakers. Jane Orient of the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons is going to talk about medical freedom, medical quality, particularly pharmaceutical and vaccine quality assurance and testing. And our second speaker will be Perry Willis, who is a past national director of the Libertarian Party at the national level. And he's also co-founder of Downsize DC and the Zero Aggression Project. I think I mentioned those organizations a couple of times. Downsize DC floats a couple of bills every year. One of them is the Read the Bills Act, which requires congressmen to read the legislation before they vote on it. Which,
good luck on that.
Yes, good luck on that. The One Subject at a Time Act, which means you don't bury a gazillion things in one huge omnibus bill. Also, good luck on that. And the Write the Laws Act, because now Congress just delegates the law-writing authority to federal agencies who aren't really accountable, certainly not accountable to voters. And, you know, libertarians favor less laws, a finite body of law that you can actually know, which is a requirement to have a republic, by the way. And these things would help in that direction. And it's amazing just how few people in Congress are interested in doing that.
We're talking with Scott Stewart, who is the treasurer of the Libertarian Party in Pima County. And during my introduction of you, I didn't mention, of course, that you were a member of the Pima Community College Board for how many years?
18 to life.
18 to life. This college has shrunk dramatically since you were last on the board. How do you get back to the enrollment where you were there, and how do you view how successful this college is in light of all kinds of challenges during the COVID-19 crisis?
You know, I think in a lot of ways the college is doing very well and doing the right things and focusing on the right kinds of programs. You'd like to have enrollment higher, but I have never emphasized enrollment as a metric that community colleges should be judged by. The metric that they should be judged by, in my opinion, is quality throughput. So you can have lots of people in the college and not making progress, which is one of the things that we had a lot of during my tenure, where people would come in, take classes, make very little progress, burn through their financial aid opportunities, and not graduate, and then also be in programs where they didn't have meaningful skills when they got out. So the college, by focusing more on the workforce development areas, aviation, welding, information technology, nursing, things like that, you may not have as high enrollment, and those are more expensive programs, but you get quality graduates out of them. And one of the reasons you get quality graduates out of them is third-party certification. You cannot lower your standards below what industry is willing to accept. That's critical, I think, because what we've seen in education at all levels, and the thing which drove me to run and get involved in education to begin with, is each level of education kind of lowering their standards and enabling the level before them to perform poorly. Now, there's a lot of horrible dynamics in education, but, you know, at some point you kind of got to hold the line and say, you know, a high school degree should mean something. A graduation should mean something. Grades should mean something. And increasingly they haven't been.
By the way, you felt very strongly about some qualification to get into Pima Community College. Now it's just been kind of an open door. Anybody can apply, and most anybody can attend classes.
I've always believed that everybody should be able to attend. What I haven't been in favor of is people obtaining federal financial aid that has a requirement that the outcomes for the classes that they have to be in be at least ninth grade, and not being able to have students that can achieve that. So, you know, just can't let people in who test at the second and third grade level and then expect them to succeed in algebra.
And they burn through scholarship money, and they don't have it for another try at higher education, and that path is gone.
Yes, so a firm believer in letting them in and helping them as much as we can, but not having them access federal financial aid.
Why has that been such a controversial issue? Because you've been fighting an uphill battle with that philosophy.
The Department of Ed wasn't enforcing its own rules for a long time. Community colleges all over the country let that drift. We were one of the colleges that stood up and tried to challenge that. But when you threaten people's money, you know, a lot of opposition emerges. And when the opposition emerges, other problems come out. So, but the feds have held the line on what the requirements are, and Pima has largely, I think, complied with those.
Overall, do you think Pima Community College is doing fairly well?
I think they're moving in the right direction, and I think Meredith Hay has done a good job, and I think Damian Klinko has done a good job, and I believe there is a person running for the District 4 seat that Meredith Hay is sitting on. I cannot remember his name, but I'm mostly worried about Damian Klinko and the challenge that he's going to face, because I think if he loses his seat, I think there's enough opposition that Lee might not be around. And I think there are areas where I disagree with him on, but I think he's done a very, very good job, and I think the direction the college is going is very good because of him.
We'll be back with more of the Libertarian Party from the treasurer of the Libertarian Party, Scott Stewart, following these messages. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Together, they brought a bit of France to the heart of Tucson. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell have become a gathering place for Tucsonans who love great bread and wonderful food. The bread and the pastries of La Baguette Bakery have become a Tucson favorite, and Guigny's French Cafe offers casual atmosphere, delightful French cuisine, and moderate prices. Dine in or dine out, Guigny's is just perfect for breakfast and lunch, offering specialty coffees, lattes, French wines, cocktails, imported beer, and a touch of France. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery in the Safeway Center at Prince and Campbell have now become Tucson's destination to dine in or to take out.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Your radio commercial puts you front and center in the listener's attention span.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Ackerly Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Stir emotion, create demand, and grow your business with radio.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
And they're off. Enjoy live racing Saturday and Sunday at historic Rito Park Racetrack with exciting quarter horse and thoroughbred racing. Rito is the birthplace of quarter horse racing, so come to the track this weekend and enjoy live racing during the 79th season. Entertainment, great food, thrilling horse racing, and fun for everyone. Gates open at 10 a.m. with post time at 1:30 p.m. at Rito Racetrack, located at First Avenue and River Road. Presented by Rito Park Foundation.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum, the treasurer of the Libertarian Party in Pima County. Scott Stewart is my guest, and Scott, let's talk a little bit about Pima County and the state fair coming up.
Yes, the Pima County Fair we will have a Libertarian Party presence there. We've got a booth that we're in the process of building and lining up. We have not been out there.
That's the first time for you, isn't it?
Not the first time, but it's the first time in a long time. Good. I think the last time we did it was either 96 or 97.
Wow.
Back when I was either chair or volunteer coordinator. And it's a ton of work. It requires a super volunteer to basically commit to being there every day, all day long. And then a few people to come in and maybe take a day or a few hours of relief. But we will have a presence there. We will have our candidates, our two or three candidates that we'll have, will come by, and we don't have a schedule for them yet, but you know, they'll put in appearances as they can. We'll have literature, we'll have resources, we'll have people you can talk to about libertarianism, and you'll get to know us. We see the world from a little bit different perspective than other people do. We see things as who gets to decide things for you. So for us right now, the big issue of the day is medical freedom. You know, whether you get to choose what goes in your body, what happens with your body, and free speech is very important, because a lot of that is being squashed, especially when you counter the dominant narratives that we see happening in society today. So my request to people would be, you know, take a look at us on Facebook, Pima County Libertarian Party, just type that in, or go to our website, which is PimaLP.org. And we have events listed, we have resources listed, we have candidates listed. You can find a lot of information about us, but also check out some other libertarian organizations like the National Libertarian Party, which is lp.org, or the State Libertarian Party, azlp.org.
Let's go over this meeting one more time, and I appreciate
yes.
If you will repeat the two guest speakers, which I'm very impressed by,
yes.
And when and where for people who
okay. So that's again April 19th at 6:30 p.m. at our headquarters, which is 5546 East 4th Street in Tucson. It's a block north of 5th and a block east of Craycroft. And our two guest speakers, our main speaker is going to be Jane Orient of the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. And we're going to talk about medical freedom, quality, particularly pharmaceutical and vaccine quality assurance and testing. And the second speaker will be Perry Willis, who's a past national director of the National Libertarian Party. He's also the co-founder of Downsize DC and the Zero Aggression Project. And he'll be doing a preview of a presentation he's going to give in the May meeting on Libertarianism 101, which, since we have a lot of new activists, will be, I think, very, very good background for them.
By the way, what are the chances of Mark Victor, who is your U.S. Senate candidate, or Doug Harding, who is the state legislative District 20 candidate, being able to be in a debate situation with Republicans and Democrats as you get toward the general election? Is there any rules that prohibit you? or do they just throw you out because they want to?
Typically what happens is the Democrats and Republicans don't want them there, and the organizations that maybe sponsor the debates take a look at our registration numbers and go, well, you know, it just detracts time from the candidates who are going to win. There was a similar situation in the Soviet Union, where if you weren't a member of the Communist Party, you were excluded from the ballot there as well. But actually, I think it's a fair criticism, though, because if you don't have the growth and you don't have if you don't have the numbers, it's hard to be taken seriously. One of the things that I like about, and I'm the only person in the Libertarian Party I know of that likes it, is the clean elections money. If our state legislative candidates would take that, they would be required to be invited to the debates to debate anybody else who is taking the so-called clean elections money. I don't like clean elections. The Libertarian Party opposed it, but you know, not one of the people who have opposed it has actually tried circulating an initiative to get it eliminated.
Well, Scott Stewart, great to talk with you again. Great to get an update on the Libertarian Party and its growth. Thanks to Drew Hinton, who is obviously doing a great job, and to yourself, who just never seems to give up. And believe me, I think it's going to pay off for the party, because it does have a foundation it didn't have before. I know you're proud of that, and I appreciate very much you coming by to talk about the Libertarian
Absolutely.
Party.
Thank you for having me, John.
You bet. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. We'll talk about the Democratic Party in Pima County and the state of Arizona. with Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County, following these messages.
Did you know that a majority of Arizonans support more funding for public education, affordable health care, and jobs that pay well? This is Larry Bodine, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson, and that's what we stand for. Activate yourself by Googling Democrats of Greater Tucson and clicking on Join Now. You'll be part of a dynamic organization of activists. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.
You borrowed my car and left pizza under the hood.
Jerry, I wanted to keep it hot.
Just great. Now I have cheese clogging my intake manifold. I don't want to go to the car place.
I know where you can take it, Jerry.
What's the deal with car repairmen anyway? They all kind of suck, right?
Perfection Auto Works.
Oh, that Mike Emery guy. I heard he's pretty good, though.
Just an honest mechanic.
Oh, Jerry, he's the best.
Hello, Newman.
Hello, Jerry.
I have an appointment at... Hey, spread out. I was here first. No, I was. Back off, Newman.
Hey, you guys, settle down. Stop it.
Now look what you've done.
That's it. No car repair for you.
At Perfection Auto Works, we run into all kinds of problems, from customer relations to major car repair, brakes, belts, hoses, and so much more. 323-8650 and PerfectionAutoWorks.com.
I don't want to go to the car shop.
From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. With me is Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. Don, welcome to the show. I'm glad you could join us this weekend. Thank you.
It's great to be with you, John. Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about this Republican legislature and the courts that are trying to overturn what is some of the most outrageous attempts to make it more difficult for people to vote in the state of Arizona than perhaps ever before. And other craziness, such as the Democratic Party now is entitled to challenge an Arizona law that results in GOP candidates being listed first on most ballots in the state of Arizona. People didn't really know that, I don't think, that the Republicans wanted to be first on the ballot because there's a slight advantage to that, and all they want is a slight advantage to keep power. Insane and crazy. Tell me more.
It is. You're right on that first one. That has been the Democrats attempted to get rid of that law before, and this judge threw it out. So the Democrats researched it. I'm talking about their attorneys, came back, has refiled it, and now wherever it went is sending it back to that judge saying, yes, it is a legitimate concern now because there has been proven an advantage when your name is at the top. And what the Republicans had done is, of course, they changed the law to benefit them because fairness is not part of what they believe in. And what they found is, or the law they passed is that in the counties where whichever party won the governor's race in that county, that party's candidates would all be listed first. And, of course, in Arizona, Doug Ducey won 11 out of the 15 counties. So in those 11 counties, all the Republicans' names appear first on the ballot. And the research found that when that happens, there is a 2 to almost 6% advantage automatically given just because your name appears first. And Republicans knew that and took advantage of it. And you think back, we've had some very close races. You can go back as far as the race with Ron Barber and McSally, you know.
168 votes, yeah.
Yeah, that could have turned on that, for example. And so it is now going to court, and it is a legitimate case, and the judge will be ruling on that.
You know, the idea, too.
Just as you said, just one of the crazy actions that Republicans have taken.
Well, they tried to strike down early voting, which is very popular among not only Democrats but Republicans as well. Because they think that, there's too many Democrats voting early, so if we just take away their right to vote early, make it more difficult for them to vote, then Republicans will have an advantage. And they would. I mean, it's just, I mean, you look at it and you go, you can't do that, and they say, well, stop me. I mean, really, it's just astounding.
And all you need to know there is, when early voting first came out, Republicans favored it because they had the advantage. Since the turn of this century, Arizona Democrats learned their lesson and turned that around to where the Democratic Party turnout in early voting is about the same, maybe a little bit stronger than Republicans. But if you look at the total voter population in Arizona, it's up to 89% of Arizona voters vote on the early ballot. And so they're hurting their own cause as well as Democrats. But as you say, they're thinking that in conjunction with all of the other voter suppression activities and bills they've put in and the governor has signed, they think cumulatively, obviously, it will hurt Democratic turnout. That's their only goal. They can't win on issues. They can't win on policies. They can't win fairly. And so they've taken every one of these measures to attack voting. And it's not just in Arizona, as you know. This is a coordinated effort across the country, spurred by ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, which actually writes all of these Republican laws, and they send their Republican drone legislators back to their states to push them. But you have these laws now have been pushed forth in 19 states and about 34 laws total restricting voting rights of Americans.
By the way, I was noticing that a national organization involved in election issues is moving to try to keep Representative Mark Mitchum from running for Secretary of State because he was involved in the November 6, 2021 riot at the Capitol. And others may be involved, too. In fact, two congressmen, Paul Gosar and Andy Biggs, would be prohibited for running for re-election if this suit is successful. I was, well, floored by that one. I'd like to see it happen, but really, wow.
That's fascinating, isn't it? And the argument is that they are in violation of the 14th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. Now, I don't have it in front of me, but it basically says if you participate or are party to an insurrection against the government of the United States, you're ineligible to run for office. Of course, that came about after the Civil War and targeted at former Confederate legislators that wanted to, or yeah, Confederates that wanted to run for office later. But the same applies here, according to, again, courts that said, yes, those lawsuits can go ahead. And they're coming very soon. I think the lawsuit against Fincham will be heard on April 12th. And I believe the two against Biggs and Gosar are going to be held separately on the same day, the next day, I believe, April 13th. So that'll be very interesting because not a lot was known to the public that these things were happening. And as you say, here they are, and it's a constitutional question that is calling to account, or at the very least, again, holding up to the light the actions of these insurrectionists. Now, I know Fincham has argued that he didn't go in the building, so I guess he thinks just being a cheerleader in front of the Capitol is okay. But this is a man who was part of the Oath Keepers terrorist group and perhaps even part of the planning that went into the January 6 attacks.
Let me ask you about this election that is the primary of 2022. If you've been in Arizona for any length of time, you realize we used to have primaries at Labor Day, the end of August, the beginning of September, and then it kept somewhat of a narrow window for those running for the general election. All you had was really September, October, and that was it, about a 60-day turn. Now the primary is August 2nd. How does that affect the voting in Arizona? How does it affect the selection of major parties like the Democrats and Republican of selecting folks this early? The legislature sometimes is in session to perhaps to May, sometimes to June, and then you've got an August 2nd primary, and you can't really campaign when you're in office in the legislature. You can't raise money while you're in session. You're restricted from doing a whole lot of things while you're in session if you want to run again. This August 2nd primary, how has it changed Arizona, or has it?
Well, it has and it will. You mentioned one component of it, and that's incumbents running for re-election. It doesn't affect new candidates because they have enough advance notice and can get out there. This year, however, it's been a particular challenge because of redistricting, and candidates had to wait months and months to find out what district they'd be running in or running for. And again, if you watch the news, you've seen, and I think it was Gosar as one example of someone who's playing musical houses to decide which district to live in or claim to live in wherever he's running. So that's a second issue, is there was a lot of waiting and seeing there. And now you have the challenge of having to ramp up the campaign at its height in the, let's say, 60 days before the primary, and holding the primary at a time where, as you know, many Arizonans are not in Arizona. You know, we have the reverse snowbirds that often leave the area, particularly older, more retired, more affluent voters that tend to be out of town, which again comes full circle to folks that like early voting that the Republicans are trying to restrict. So it'll be very interesting to see how it affects turnout, because for Democrats, that's going to be the key here more than any other time. Democrats tend not to perform as well in midterm elections, and that's what we have here. So we'll see that in the primaries. I don't think it'll affect the primaries quite as much, having said what I just said, because you always have the turnout of the most loyal folks, so the high functioning in terms of attention and voting Democrats will turn out. The same on the Republican side. And that's one of the perhaps dangers, if you kind of looking at it from above, is that it may tend to favor the more extreme candidates whose folks are going to be there voting for them no matter what. And so that may be an outcome of having this early voting date too.
Yeah, that
on
really,
the plus side, it gives them more time to run for the general.
It does. And this general election had a very short period of time. I mean, once you were nominated by your party, you literally were within a 60-day, well, actually, with the early voting, you were within about 3 weeks before the voting began, maybe four
That's
at
right.
the most. And so voting early even made that a more serious challenge for folks running in the general, because there was so little time to campaign, especially for people that were new to the ballot and did not have a following, having been incumbents. Well, your prediction, everybody's predicting doom for the Democratic Party, and I've got about a minute and a half. I don't know who you're listening to, but the doomsayers say Democrats are going to lose the House, going to lose the Senate, lose governor's races all across the country, and it'll be a one-party country all over this great United States by the end of the first week in November.
I'm an optimist, and I see a real strong chance for the Democrats at least to hold the Senate. As you know, it is true on average that the party out of the White House tends to pick up perhaps dozens of seats, and that could swing the House to Republicans. But when you look at the Senate side, there are nine state contests for Senate that are really being focused on. Of those nine, four are held by Democratic incumbents. So we have to hold serve there. And that's Arizona with Mark Kelly, who's, I think, looking pretty strong. Nevada, New Hampshire, and Georgia. And think about Georgia, because that's going to be the tough one. You have Ralph Warnock against Herschel Walker. And, you know, if we didn't have Ralph Warnock and the other Georgia senator winning those runoffs. Remember, this was less than 2 years ago. We would not have Jackson now as our newest Supreme Court justice. That swung the balance there. So that's going to be probably the key race to watch there. A recent poll came out that actually showed the Republican with a little lead. And if you know anything about Herschel Walker, he's got history of domestic violence, of health issues that perhaps haven't been addressed fully, lied about his college degree, lied about other accomplishments, which, of course, puts him kind of right in line with a traditional Trump Republican. And that's the challenge that Democrats
surprise,
have.
Surprise.
So, again, it's all about turnout for the Democrats in the midterms.
Don Jorgensen, thanks for being with us and sharing some of your thoughts on this weekend. I really, truly appreciate it. We'll talk to you again very soon. Have a great weekend. Thanks for being here. Thank you.
You too, John. My pleasure.
Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party. Speaking of Democrats, Larry Bodine will be with us. He talks about the Democrats of Greater Tucson and how they are growing by leaps and bounds in our community. That comes up next following these messages. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
And they're off. Enjoy live racing Saturday and Sunday at historic Rieto Park Racetrack with exciting quarter horse and thoroughbred racing. Rieto is the birthplace of quarter horse racing, so come to the track this weekend and enjoy live racing during the 79th season. Entertainment, great food, thrilling horse racing, and fun for everyone. Gates open at 10 a.m. with post time at 1:30 p.m. at Rieto Racetrack, located at First Avenue and River Road. Presented by Rieto Park Foundation.
Are you tired of yelling at the TV when news about politics comes on? I know I am. This is Larry Bodine, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson. It's time to activate yourself by joining us and helping to elect Democrats. Simply Google Democrats of Greater Tucson and click on Join Now. Don't just sit on the couch. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks so much for being with us on this Saturday. The following is a presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, who is responsible for the content of this broadcast segment. Here's Larry Bodine, president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. Hi, Larry.
Good afternoon, John. How's it going?
It's going very, very well. Let's talk a little bit about Monday's Democrats of Greater Tucson event.
Yes, well, we're featuring Morgan Abraham, who is running for state senate in the new Legislative District 18, which just happens to be my district. Morgan Abraham is already a member of the Arizona House of Representatives, and he's running for re-election. And this is a guy who wants to use his knowledge of the tax code to find new income that'll permanently fund our education system the way it was back in 2008. And immediately following Morgan Abraham, on April 18, we have another candidate, Priya Sundarshan. She is a law professor at the University of Arizona, and she is running also for the legislature in LD 18. In fact, there's five Democratic candidates. So Priya was a member of the Environmental Defense Fund, and she's all about providing Arizona water security, make us a renewable energy leader, and protecting our voting rights. And I got to tell you, John, you know, with the Republican legislature passing all of this horrendous, unpopular legislation, Democrats of Greater Tucson membership is just going off the charts. So you can find Democrats of Greater Tucson at thedgt.org or just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson. And we are, our membership is up 132% during the 3 years that I've been president. The traffic on our website is off the charts. In February, we had 39,000 page views. Now, in March, we had 102,000. That's an increase of 800%.
It's got to be this radio show.
I think
it's got to be you on the radio that's doing this.
Absolutely.
Sure.
You know, and we have a huge mailing list of hundreds and over 2,000 contacts. Our brochures are in most libraries. And here's one cool thing, John. You can go on the Democrats of Greater Tucson website. Again, it's thedgt.org, or just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson, and you can find out what district you're in, because all the districts changed. So we have a big red button at the top of the page that says, you know, what district am I in? You click on it, type in your address, and voila, you get the answer.
Well, I tell you, I think that's something that everybody ought to do, because I know a great many people that do not know what district they're in now after it has been redrawn. So they have no idea who their legislators are or will be or could be.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to really at least look around and say, where am I? And the Democrats Greater Tucson mechanism will allow you to do that very easily.
Oh, yeah. And all you have to do is just click on the big red button. And I got to tell you, we've had huge success with our salon program. Now, this is something that takes place most often on Thursday evenings around 6. And we've had veterans, from Common Defense. It's an organization of progressive veterans. Most people think veterans are Republicans, but a lot of them are progressives. We've also had a data analyst, Sam Almy, tell us about what the new districts mean. And, of course, the districts, you know, were only final, April 8th. So this has really just happened. And I got to tell you, John, from what I see, the Democrats are on the move. They're going to flip the state legislature because the people are just tired of passing this unpopular legislation, making it hard to vote, overturning public initiatives like Prop 208, which was supported by 1.7 million voters. And they went to court and got it thrown out. And here, can you keep a secret, John? I want to tell you a secret.
No, I can't, but go ahead anyway.
We have a fabulous speaker booked. He's going to be talking sometime in May. I don't have all the details, but the guy's name is Frank Figliuzzi. He is a commentator on NBC and MSNBC. He's a former FBI FBI leader. He was head of international intelligence for the FBI. And he's going to tell us about democracy in danger. So we're really hitting the big time now. We expect a national audience when we get Frank online. But that's as fantastic. I said again, you know, please keep that secret.
I will, absolutely. Thanks so much for being with us, Larry Bodine. This presentation of the Democrats of the Greater Tucson is responsible for the content of the broadcast segment. Of course, Larry Bodine, president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. He was a delegate to the Democratic National Convention. He's an award-winning journalist for the Daily News in New York, lawyer. He's one great guy. And thanks so much. I appreciate it, Larry, for being on our show. Thank you.
You bet. All the best to you.
Yes. KPY, The Voice, from the Perfection.org studios. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Perfection.org.
If there ever was a time to get active in local politics, it's right now. This is Larry Bodine, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson. I'm calling on you to activate yourself by joining us and helping to elect Democrats. Just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson and click on Join Now. You'll be part of a dynamic organization of activists. Don't miss this chance to make a difference. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.
Hey, I really appreciate you giving me a ride. I owe you a lunch.
Hey, what are you doing, man?
Hey, man, it's $9.95 oil change. I can't pass that up.
You just had your oil changed last week.
Don't matter. It's $9.95. Are you crazy?
No, you're crazy. You know why? Let me tell you about this place. Look at the kid coming out to the car here. He's got zits and he's in high school. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Come on, it's a quickie, jerky, lube service.
Look at these cans. 29 weight. Cheap oil. It's cheap crap.
Now, you're going to have to leave, mister. He's one of our finest customers.
Shut up, Zip.
I can't take it anymore.
Stop it. Act like a man. You need help, man. I'm going to call the hotline.
Hey, Perfection, we got a stat for you. We're coming right over.
Hey, let me guess. Another jerky lube addict, huh? All right, step aside.
No, man, don't do
Clear.
It.
You guys rock. You guys changed my life because of Expert Auto Repair, man.
This is what we do at Perfection Auto Works, 323-8650.